And good morning, and thank you for tuning in to the 88.5 KRFY Morning Show. I'm Susie Perez, and I'm here in the studio with my co-host, Chris Bessler. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, Susie.
We have a very special show for you today. We have Shelby Rogstad. He's the mayor-elect, I guess we'd call it, and current council, city council president. So, good morning, Shelby.
Good morning. Pleasure
and,
to be here.
Yeah, it's really nice to have you. And Carrie Logan, our current and sitting mayor right now. And good morning, Carrie.
Morning, Susie. Morning,
and she is sitting.
I am sitting.
Yeah. Yeah. You can get literally.
Drinking water. It's very nice to have both of you. This is kind of the what we're calling handing off of the torch, but we could be calling it handing off of the list also. The list. And we'll get to that in a very nice discussion. Carrie, you can share all that you want to with Shelby on the air. So it's documented, all the sage advice that you have for him.
But remember, no cussing.
Yes, I forgot to remind you of that, didn't
right.
I? And it is Tuesday, December 15th, and it's 8 o'clock in the morning. And before we get started with our discussion with our guest, we'd like to tell you a little bit about the weather from the National Weather Service. Currently, we're being told it's about 30 degrees out, partly cloudy. And I've got to scroll this down just a second. Today, scattered snow showers after 4 p.m., patchy fog before 10 a.m., otherwise mostly cloudy with a high near 32. Not getting very warm today. Southwest winds 3 to 8 miles per hour. Chance of precipitation 30%. And total accumulation less than a half an inch possible. Tonight, snow showers, low 27, 80% chance. So we may wake up to a little bit of snow in town, but definitely on the mountain, it sounds like. Wednesday, high 30, 30% chance of scattered snow showers. And Wednesday night, mostly cloudy, low 17. So a little cooler temperatures coming up here.
A little cooler, but it's kind of nice to be walking around the streets downtown without snow. But be able to look up on the mountain and see that they're starting to get some nice snow up there. Sunrise this morning was at 7:30 a.m. Sunset will be at 3:52 p.m. And we are still losing our daylight a few minutes a week right now. The winter solstice is on the 22nd. That's just 1 week from today.
My daughter's birthday.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Auspicious mm-hmm. birthday. Mm-hmm. And at that point, we're going to start gaining daylight every day as we head now towards the summer solstice. Also, the moon is waxing. It's 19% full right now. The first quarter moon is going to be Friday. And what's going to happen on Christmas Day, Susie?
A full moon for the first time in 37 years.
Yeah.
So it's a really kind of big deal. If the skies are clear, we'll have quite an event, actually.
Yeah, so a Christmas full moon.
You'll be able to see Santa as he flies across the
exactly.
moon.
Exactly. Right. How fun is that?
You better
that?
Get out there with your camera. Lake level is at 2051.56 feet. It's really holding level now at the winter low pool. Up on Schweitzer, they've had 2 inches of new snow in the last 48 hours. They now have 49 inches on top, 35 inches in the mid mountain. It's 23 degrees right now. They have 5 lifts open today with 42 runs open. I think 13 of those are groomed. So the skiing is starting to get good up on Schweitzer. That's great to hear.
Have you been up yet?
I have not. I always wait for it to get a little better.
It was pretty fabulous on Sunday.
Did you go?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. What parts of the mountain? Did you have that great escape open, right?
Yeah, the whole front side's open for the most part, except Sunnyside.
Yeah.
And hopefully later this week we'll see some backside action.
Yeah, that's right. If we get a bunch of snow out of this new storm, that'd be great. Other things going on around town. Well, we had some flooding events happen last, I think, Tuesday and Wednesday. A lot of the streams were out of the banks. A lot of roads had water over them. But I think we made it through in pretty good shape, all in all. Did you hear anything, Mayor?
We were concerned about the Schweitzer cutoff bridge. Cody went down and risked life and limb to get underneath there and take pictures, but there was no additional damage to the bridge that we could see. Little Sand Creek had a huge log jam. There was some kind of slide into the pool area, so we'll have to remove all that debris.
Yeah.
But we did have one citizen from Upper Pack River come into the city to query about resources because her family had been flooded out and they had a baby and they lost everything, baby crib, baby everything.
Oh, boy.
And so we made some appropriate referrals for them.
Yeah.
But other than that, we didn't hear much.
Yeah. We actually got a little clip of Sand Creek at the Schweitzer Cutoff Bridge. And it was out of the banks, but wasn't over the road there. It was nearly over the road.
The Bronx was, the bridge on the Bronx.
But the interesting thing was we posted that up on the Sandpoint Online Facebook page, and I think we had like 17,000 views of it. It just kind of went viral because everybody was interested in what's happening with the flooding here. So that's what happens on Wild World of Facebook.
In Bonner County.
Yeah. We're going to get into our interview in just a minute, but I want to mention we have a couple really good morning shows coming up.
Why don't you tell us about them, Chris?
Okay, on Thursday, the Thursday morning show, Jack Peterson, the host, is going to be talking with Mamdou El Arag. He's an official of the Spokane Islamic Center. And Jack's conversation with him is going to just be covering what is Islam about and what is the Muslim faith about. Because there's a lot of questions about that right now. Of course, we've had some local controversies concerning basically refugees that are moving here. We're not going to get into that on that show, but it's an opportunity for Jack to give some more information and Mamdou to give more information about what the religion really stands for. So that'll be a very interesting show for people to tune into. That's 8 o'clock on Thursday. And then next Tuesday, on the Tuesday morning show at 8 a.m., we're going to be talking with pastors and speakers from four different churches about the true meaning of Christmas. That'll be just 3 days before Christmas Day, so I think it'll be very interesting to hear from local Christian churches about the reason for the season.
And it's really interesting, you know, the KRFY Morning Show is all about bringing information to our listeners. Last week we had someone talking about the Jewish faith, and this Thursday Jack's interview is about Islam, and next week we'll be talking about the reason for the season, as you say, Chris. Mm-hmm. So that's what our goal is to bring information that can inform and inspire our listeners.
And, of course, if you miss these shows, any of these shows, including if you have to tune out of today's show, you can catch these all as podcasts on our website, carolfy.org. You can listen to any of these shows at any time. But we usually try to get them up the afternoon of the show. So it takes us a few hours to get them posted.
So you can always check that website, krfy.org, and listen again or share it with a friend.
Onward.
And here we are in the studios this morning with, again, our guest, Shelby Rongstad, who is the current sitting president of the city council, and Carrie Logan, and also mayor-elect. And I did want to say congratulations, Shelby.
Thank you, Susie.
Yeah, we can say that now. And that was, you know, thanks for stepping up. You must have a passion for what's coming, and from sitting on the city council for the last 4 years to really get a sense that you wanted to take the next step and become the mayor. So congratulations. That's fabulous.
Either that or you like punishment.
Maybe a lot of both.
Soon to find out. And Carrie Logan, our sitting mayor. And how many years have you been doing this, Carrie?
I was elected to 2 terms on council, the second term of 4 years after Marsha passed away and council appointed me to her seat. So I've done 8 years elected service, and I did 5 years PNZ before that.
So you have, we were talking before the show, you have a lot of plans for when you step down in January, and that sounds really good, and a lot of it traveling and things like that, but we can get into that a little bit later.
Okay.
But we're really here to hear a little bit about some of the things that you can share with Shelby, actually, on the air. But also, I was thinking we just found out who our new city administrator is that was announced, and how the job of mayor will possibly change due to that or not. Any thoughts on that?
It all depends on what the intent of the sitting mayor is in performing their job. They can be as involved or as hands-off as they want. Code actually only has some little skinny requirements for the mayor's position. It's like signing ordinances and conducting meetings. That's about it. And I chose to be a much more involved mayor. I really enjoyed doing the job that way, and I have a feeling Shelby's probably going to want to be doing that too. As far as the new city administrator position, that's a position that works direct. The mayor is the city administrator's supervisor, so to speak. So that position is carrying out the wishes of the mayor, who is responding to the wishes of council and what council's direction and vision is. So it's kind of a dance. It's a dance, and I think it's just going to, especially the person we've putting before council tomorrow night, Jennifer, just has a terrific skill set that is just going to be fabulous for our city. And as you know, all of our department heads are working department heads, and you know, mayor and council can come up with all these new great ideas, and it's like, when are they supposed to get all this stuff done, you know? And so she sees herself, and I see her position as that of a real support person and taking on special projects that the mayor and the council may want to see done. And, of course, some of the biggies coming up are making sure that Memorial Field project is completed in a timely manner and done really, really well. And I would imagine the city administrator, I would hope that she would be tasked with helping with that, and associated grants to support the financing of that project, and just a variety of things.
It's really a good time to just say congratulations again to our whole community for passing that and taking care of something such as the Memorial Field upgrade so that it can be used into the future.
Right.
I know that was a big push for a long time.
It was a big push by a lot of people. And, you know, to pass a tax at 73% is pretty amazing. So,
On the subject of city administrator, folks are going to have a chance to meet her.
Absolutely.
That's tomorrow.
Tomorrow at 4 o'clock, 4 to 5:30 in council chambers. She'll be available to meet and greet and answer questions. And then council meeting, we'll go through the business portion of our meeting and then the one item on new business we have. And I particularly structured the meeting that way so it wasn't cluttered with a whole bunch of other stuff because this is an important deal. So that's the opportunity for council to ask additional questions. They will be meeting with her individually tomorrow during the day. No quorums at any time. And then community will be able to meet her between 4 and 5:30. And during the business meeting, you know, as we are always doing, we make available time for the citizens to come forward and ask questions, you know, of our candidate. And so it should be a good deal.
And her name again is Jennifer Stapleton.
Jennifer Stapleton.
She's currently a, I believe, is it a grant writer for this?
She's an administrator for City of Spokane, and she administers two departments. Off the top of my head, I can't remember what they are. The B did a good job today in describing what her current responsibilities are.
There's a good story on her in today's
Daily
Bee.
Yeah, there's a good story on her today. And she has a lot of grant writing experience over the course of her work history. And a really unique thing is that she is a certified grant administrator, which there are only two in the state of Washington, and she's one of those. It's a, I'm going to say license, that's not the right word. It's a testing. You have to test to do it. And
like a certification.
Certification, probably. That's the word. Thanks, Chris. And she's very, very, very competent person, has written grants in all kinds of realms. She was executive director of the Spokane Domestic Violence Coalition for like 10 years. And so she has a broad experience.
Yeah. And I'll mention that in the Sandpoint Reader story that was out a few weeks ago when they announced her as a candidate, that there's a link to her LinkedIn page. And people could take a look at her resume for themselves if they want to see the extent of her experience. Mm-hmm. She looks like a very well-qualified candidate. Mm-hmm. Did you feel like you had a strong pool of candidates to choose from?
Yeah, we did. And we had a total of 32 applicants. We whittled that down to, I think it was six. We scheduled interviews. Seven, actually. And two of our candidates decided they didn't want to go to that step. So we interviewed a total of five. Yeah.
And they were from all around the country. You were on the, Shelby as well, you were on the interview committee, I believe?
Yeah, I was. And I agree. I think we had a bunch of great candidates. Jennifer, though, really stood head and shoulders above the rest. So we were thrilled when she accepted our offer.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I had a question for Shelby. And listening to Carrie talk about the vague sort of description of what a mayor does, and Carrie, you stepped in very proactive, very hands-on, kind of set the stage, so to speak. But Shelby, I'm sure that you've been thinking about your role as mayor, and how do you see yourself in taking on that position and being involved, and how do you see that, your interactions with the council and the new administrator?
Well, I see the hiring of a city administrator, I think, is really going to enable me to be a lot more active and really a lot more engaged in the community. With an administrator to take care of the day-to-day operations and, you know, kind of the minutiae of the position, managing staff, et cetera, it really gives me the opportunity to get out in the community, meet with people on a regular basis to address their concerns specifically, and to really move forward on initiatives and projects that we've envisioned maybe for years. Some of them are new. But it really gives me that time and opportunity to move forward on projects that are important for the city that oftentimes kind of get left by the wayside. So, and there's also a lot of things, you know, there's a lot of actions or directions that council may want to take and begin to take, and staff as well. But they often get bogged down, and sometimes things will kind of fall through the cracks a little bit and they'll get left behind. And having an administrator there to ensure that those things aren't dropped is going to be really important for the city.
I'm just curious, is there any kind of mayoral education out there? I mean, can you go to school to be mayor? How do you learn to be mayor, Carrie?
Well, it's significant on-the-job training. And AIC, Association of Idaho Cities, does a now twice a year one-day institute in Coeur d'Alene, where they provide really good information for elected officials, and Shelby's participated in that once or twice, I believe, and most recently in November. Additionally, we've done some conversation between the two of us. I call it Mayor 101, you know, just about how I've approached the job and what I think is important. And interesting, the other day I was out at Les Schwab having my tires changed and ran into Ron Chaney, who I'd never had a conversation with before.
He's a former mayor.
He's a former mayor, mm-hmm. two-time mayor, divided between Dwight Scheffler. And he and I just had the best conversation, and he said, you know, I've never felt that I should come in and talk to the new mayor. And I've said, I really wish you had. You know, this is just so important to talk to previous mayors. I used to call Gretchen when I was first in the office and ask her questions, you know. And she was reluctant to, I think, former mayors, like former presidents or whatever, reluctant to try and influence what's going forward. It's just not good form. But that's just really important to get that perspective on all kinds of stuff. Mm-hmm. And I wish I had thought to call Ron Chaney, you know, when I was first sitting in that chair and say, you know, just talk to me. How did you do this job? What were, you know, what were your thoughts and stuff? I think that's really, really important.
And you mentioned Gretchen. That's Gretchen Heller, mm-hmm. former mayor. She also passed away,
right.
Sadly,
right.
as did Marcia.
Marcia did.
Ogilvie. She was the mayor, just immediately preceded you. And I can't recall who. Mary Miller was a former mayor, mm-hmm. and he's still around. And mm-hmm. Helen Hardy and mm-hmm. Paul Graves as well.
Mm-hmm. So, I have had conversation with Paul.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I did. Have
so there, Shelby is your.
Yeah.
There's your school. There's your teachers.
Put those numbers in your speed dial. You could have a former mayor's luncheon every once in a while, and get all the information you need from them in one fell swoop.
Shelby brought up an interesting point about he sees it as an opportunity to basically expand his conversation in the community. And so much success of the city and the mayor is in building relationships. It's relationship building that I believe enabled us to succeed with ITD on our project. It's relationship building that enabled us to succeed in seeing the rehab of the depot. And it goes on and on and on. And that's just really critical.
Yeah.
And so that's a really good direction to be thinking about and wanting to go, because that's super important.
Yeah, another great example is the spot bus. You know, I can't think of a better example, actually, of the four cities of Kootenai, Ponderay, Dover, and Sandpoint coming together to create this really essential service that I think we've all dreamt about for a long time. And now not only is it a reality, but it's expanding throughout North Idaho. So, you know, I expect to see a lot more of that kind of collaboration in the future. And I would love to take it farther. I'd love to continue to build those kind of relationships with Bonner County. You know, another good example there has been the Trail Mix Committee. That has been a great a group that has come together, and not just Bonner County, local municipalities, but also agencies like Fish and Game, BLM, Forest Service, many nonprofits like Friends of the Ponderay Bay Trail, North Idaho Bikeways, conservation groups like Idaho Conservation League, and many others who've all been at the table to try and develop a regional plan for better connectivity and recreational trail systems and more. So, and Bonner County's really been the lead in that. And so, you know, I would hope to see more of that kind of collaboration and partnership in the future.
You mentioned when thinking about your new position that's coming up that there'd be new directions and new initiatives and projects that you'd like to work on, being that you'll be a little bit more freed up with a new city administrator. Do you want to share any of those with us? Kind of some thoughts for the future that you have in your hope chest?
Yeah, sure. You know, one thing that I'm the most excited about that's really a huge undertaking, but I've heard a lot of talk about this over the years, and it's an exciting thought, is helping NIC to continue to develop into what it could be, which I think is, first of all, I want to give props to NIC for what they have accomplished so far. They have continued to expand their programming here locally. They've developed workforce training that supports local industry. But we want to take that further. I would like to do everything within my power to support them and taking that to the next step, which is to not only continue to develop that programming and workforce training programs that directly support our local industries. But the long-range vision would be to develop a four-year program, a four-year degree program, a residential campus, and of course the trick is finding the funding to make that happen. And I intend early on in 2016 to formalize a commission, of which Chris and I have been working together on this a little bit. And thank you, Chris, by the way, it's been great. And we've been working with other community leaders and the leadership at NIC to develop a master plan to get us there. So we're starting to form a plan to roll out by late 2017 to the voters. And I'm hoping that we could get that funded and see NIC develop into a real college, even far beyond where they're at right now, right here in downtown Sandpoint. So that's really exciting.
So are you talking about expansion of the taxing district?
Yes, okay. Exactly.
Yeah. That really has to happen.
That would probably have to happen.
Otherwise,
because
you're still a stepchild.
Kootenai County taxes themselves in order to provide for the college there. And they look askance at us as we grow, but our taxpayers aren't contributing to the college.
Well, and the city certainly understands that, because we're in the same situation with Parks and Rec. You know, we provide these marvelous facilities. City of Sandpoint pays for it all, and it's used by county residents and non-county residents.
And tourists. And tourists. So everybody pays, so the city taxpayers really bear all that burden.
And I totally understand NIC's point of view. Mm-hmm. You know, we can't get what we want because we aren't paying any part of the bill.
Yeah, but it would be a long process and careful process.
Right. Very careful
I'd
process.
Say that. And one nice thing is that NIC President Joe Dunlop is very interested in mm-hmm. moving this forward. He's been mm-hmm. very active up here in Sandpoint. I think we've seen the NIC president up in Sandpoint more the last couple of years than ever, because Definitely. NIC really would like to see this happen as well.
Yeah, I would echo that. They really, and the NIC leadership through Joe Dunlop and his team, they seem as excited about this as we are. So mm-hmm. it really is encouraging.
And just for our listeners, when we say NIC, that's North Idaho College. Mm-hmm. Yes. And that's very exciting. Mm-hmm. That's a big project, as you have already mentioned. But when you think of a small town and how to expand it, having a four-year college here puts it on a different sure. place on the map, you know?
And it provides that workforce training, and it gives our local young people a reason to stay here. Of course, that's always an issue for families here. Our young people grow up, and they got to leave because there's no opportunity.
Right, and the infrastructure to mm-hmm. support a college like that. Mm-hmm. I just want to remind our listeners, this is 88.5 KRFY. You're listening to The Morning Show with Chris and Susie on this Tuesday, December 15th. And we're here in the studios with Shelby Rogstad and Carrie Logan, mayor-elect and current mayor. So we're going to continue this conversation. It's really fun.
So, Shelby, that's one thing on your list. Are there more things you're interested in tackling in your administration, your term?
Yeah, early on, one thing I should mention is I'm expecting in January, Mayor Logan and I have been working on a resolution and proclamation coming out in support of a refugee immigration here in Sandpoint and the region. So I think that, of course, I think most people out there realize that that there's not a lot of impact we have in terms of legislation or actual policy. Immigration is something that's managed by the federal government. But I think it's important that the city come out in support of immigration because it's really important to realize the humanitarian concern that this presents. And I was concerned when Bonner County leadership came out in opposition of immigration, and it really continues to paint an ugly picture of who we are as people here in Bonner County. And I like to think that here in Sandpoint, for sure, we have a lot more compassion and understanding, and are willing to take responsibility for what we create in the world. So that'll be high up on the list. Also, we want to create, I would like to see a conservation easement created up the Little Sand Creek watershed. And I've met with, of course, Public Works, Trust for Public Land, Kinnexu Land Trust, and other leaders in the community to develop a plan for how we can protect that watershed, Little Sand Creek watershed, which is up Schweitzer Road. It's the whole basin up there. How we can protect that from development into the future. So I think that's going to be really important looking forward to ensure that we protect the watershed, that we protect the source of our drinking water into perpetuity. And in addition to that, there is the opportunity to ensure that we have appropriate recreational use up there. Over the last year, we've started creating the Watershed Crest Trail, which is an epic recreational trail that wraps around the Little Sand Creek watershed following the ridge line. It goes from Sandpoint up to behind the triple up on Schweitzer, and then it heads southwest and goes down to Baldy, and then it turns east and heads down to the top of Mickinac and then down Mickinac Trail. So this is an incredible recreational asset for Sandpoint. It's already under construction. It's due to be fully funded, and this is the kind of project that we could see happen in the watershed, and at the same time be able to protect our drinking water and our asset up there into the future. So
the watershed is a really interesting conversation because, as you know, the city owns 90%+ of our watershed forward-thinking city councils and mayors in the teens of the 1900s. and carried on through the years by city councils is we utilized logging revenues and management revenues to purchase additional properties. And so from that standpoint, we control the watershed. The thing we don't, and we have a current sitting council member who actually made mention of this, you know, that property is worth a lot of money. We could make a lot of money if we sold it. So there's always, there's the possibility that some real aberration on city council would occur and they would say, heck, we're going to sell it. And so that's where conservation easement comes in. It adds you that extra additional layer of protection to the quality of the watershed. We have a different opinion about recreational uses up there. I'm very...
You know what? I'd like to come back and unpack that issue. Okay. And also, I want to talk a little bit more about the refugee proclamation that you're considering.
Okay.
But right now, we're going to take a musical break.
And what song are we going to hear? I'll tell you. On this day in 1966, this was the number one song. It's, however, considering how it feels in this room right now, it's also appropriate. This is the Beach Boys' Good Vibration. And we'll be right back with Mayor-elect Shelby Rongstad and current Mayor Kerry Logan. And here's some more. You know, I was thinking when you were talking, Shelby, about all the things that you want to do. I want to hear Kerry's advice to you about some of
those things. And also, I'd like to hear Kerry kind of articulate the things that she's that are important to her that she would like to make sure get carried forward.
Very good. This is the Beach Boys' Good Vibrations. We'll be right back. Stay with us. And that was the Beach Boys' Good Vibrations. We're here in the studios of 88.5 KRFY, and this is the Tuesday edition of the morning show, and with Chris and Susie. It's really nice to have you here, Chris. And we're here with, why don't you introduce our guests again?
Okay, well, we're here with our current mayor, Kerry Logan, and the mayor-elect, Shelby Rongstad. And we're kind of having a passing of the torch talk here. And Shelby, before the break there, you brought up a couple things that we want to talk about a little bit more. And then we want to talk to Kerry about some of the things that she likes would like to see you as her protege, if you will, carry on, or her successor.
Successor, better. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You mentioned that there's a proclamation in the works that would welcome refugees or support refugees. Tell us a little bit more about that.
Well, my concept has been, because I was rather appalled by what Bonner County Commissioners did and that whole resolution that went around the state to other counties.
And so to clarify, the county commissioners a week and a half ago passed a resolution mm-hmm. opposing the resettlement of mm-hmm. Syrian refugees mm-hmm. in Idaho or Bonner County.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's appropriate for the city, who has always been a leader in human rights, to restate the values of our country that we adhere to, you know, as stated on the Statue of Liberty, if nowhere else. You know, that's what this country was founded on. And for people to blow that off, plus to base this whole thing on religion, I mean, that's what it is, it's based on religion, just is sickening to me. So I would want to see it framed as a very positive restatement of the values of, you know, the United States of America, and from a human rights standpoint. So that's how I see it.
And yeah, I would echo that.
And the proclamation ends up needing to be, is that just a proclamation by the mayor? Is that something
just
that gets approved
by the mayor? It's just like a resolution. They have absolutely no weight whatsoever. But it's kind of like it's something I get to say and feel good about, you know, before I leave.
Does the city council weigh in on this in some fashion?
They could absolutely comment.
Yeah, well, as a resolution. If it were also framed as a resolution, then it would give the city council the opportunity to vote it through as they would any other resolution or mm-hmm. piece of legislation. So, and I think that would be important that that the community hears how the entire council feels on the issue.
And so we could actually do two. I could do a proclamation that I could do at the first of the meeting, and if he wants to put a resolution on during the business portion of the meeting when I'm going to be gone, that'd be great.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And I will mention for our listeners that we're hoping to come back on this topic and devote a morning show just to the refugee question. We've now had the county commissioners as well as the sheriff speak out against refugee resettlement. And, of course, the city council is thinking about it. The city officials are thinking about it differently, and we'd like to have a conversation on this. Tentatively, that would be December 29th. But we will be able to firm that up. Another important issue that you mentioned, Shelby, and actually, Carrie, you gave a hint that there's a little disagreement on this one. It's how to manage the Sand Creek watershed. And you're looking for a conservation easement, Shelby, to help protect that in the longer term in perpetuity.
And I'm totally down with that.
Yeah.
That's fine.
But part of that is whether or not the watershed should have some recreational uses.
You can have a conservation easement without establishing recreational opportunities within it. It's a protection of the land.
Yes. That's understood. But the question would be, Shelby, do you think it's appropriate to have some recreational use within the watershed? It sounds like, Carrie, you don't.
I would be extremely cautious about it because what we found when it went public about the Watershed Crest Trail is that there were additional users in the form of motorcycles and horses that went up there thinking, oh, great, there's a new trail up there, right? And
they were already there, actually.
Yeah, well, and yeah. And so I just... You know, knowing what the potential is for people going off trail, I mean, we see it on Schweitzer all the time, you know, skiers ski down that whole thing to the third switchback cross country. And I think one has to be extremely cautious just because of the impact on erosion, potential for fire, and that kind of thing.
And it's all to protect the water?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Because it's a water quality issue.
So mm-hmm. So folks may not be acquainted. The city gets its water most of the year from the Little Sand Creek drainage.
It's pretty 50-50 now. They switch back and forth all year long.
Okay. We draw it out of the lake, but we also get it from the end. But it is a cheaper, better quality water when it comes down the mountain to us, as I understand it. That's why we want to protect the watershed.
We just want to protect it because it's important to have established water rights. In fact, that's one of my things that we need to follow up on, and we are, is the whole adjudication process when it comes to the Lake Ponderay area. It's in Coeur d'Alene area right now, and probably in 3 to 5 years it's going to be up here where you establish your water rights. And we've got a real tussle going on between Bonner County folks and Washington State folks and the tribe and the feds, okay? Everybody wants a piece of the action, so it's really important that we have those firmly established. And we have very good water rights on both Little Sand Creek and the lake. Mm-hmm. Very, very well, senior rights they call them because they go back way far. They take water in front of somebody else who's just currently deciding they want to use water.
So Shelby, is this is going to come to you? How would you approach the conservation easement idea for the city watershed?
My intent would be to form a committee that will lead a public workshop series that will go on through the early part of 2016, if not into the summer. And that will be an opportunity for the public to get together on a fairly regular basis to weigh in on this issue. What are their thoughts and feelings around use of the watershed, around protection of the watershed? From that, we can form a master plan that will allow us to draft a conservation easement that will include all the values of the community and what the community determines to be the most appropriate use.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So I agree with Carrie that, you know, we should be extremely cautious around use of the watershed. But to me, that doesn't mean that we should absolutely categorically exclude recreational use.
All uses there. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, Carrie, as outgoing...
My list?
Yeah, as outgoing mayor, what would you like to hand off to your successor here and see come to fruition?
Well, when I finally made the decision that I was not going to run for mayor or for council, because I actually considered that, you know, just to go back on council, but I know how I did that job, and I was, you know, 20 hours a week and felt I couldn't go anyplace because I had to be at meetings, yada, yada, yada. So I started making a list of things that I thought were important for the city to get done. And also, I was hopeful at that point we'd hire an administrator and they could absorb some of this. So I have a list of 33 things, two of which have been added real recently, and I'm sure it will grow even more. But I'm just going to tell you about the six big ones, okay? The city has been in conversation regarding the development of an RV park within the city limits at Sandpoint. We have one at the fairgrounds within the city limits, but in the downtown area, because we get a lot of requests for that from visitors. And what we see is that if we don't have it, they go down to City Beach and sprawl across, 12 parking spaces with their big RVs. And so anyway, that's a conversation that needs to continue. City parking lot redevelopment. This has been talked about over a number of years when there was the work group through Urban Renewal and DSBA. There was talk about how to redevelop that city parking lot, and I see it in tandem with perhaps a project to move City Hall downtown, because we own that property. You can keep the parking features in place, and you can build vertically some City Hall and some commercial and some residential. So I see that as a future project. Regionalization of wastewater treatment plant. As you know, we purchased that property on Baldy several years ago for a future plant. Our timeline was delayed because growth didn't happen to the extent that we were anticipating. But it's probably going to be need to be done within the next, I'm guessing, 5 or 6 years. So the conversation is on the table now about how to do that, whether to do it solely as a City of Sandpoint facility or to do it as a regional facility. There's advantages and disadvantages to both, and those conversations are happening. Water adjudication I referenced, and that's a really important issue for the City of Sandpoint because we're all about water. We are really about water. I mean, you just have to look at our streets and look at our sump pumps going, and water seeks water, and so that's a really important conversation. And the last, I don't know if you remember, but when the byway was built, there was a tunnel built underneath, like if you're standing at the end of Cedar Street Bridge and looking at the depot, it kind of goes underneath the bypass.
And you can actually see the door there.
Yeah, you can see the concrete door. And it was a decision at that point not to make it live, so to speak. And city put in a Tiger grant for Stephen Drinkard did that, a very big Tiger grant that included opening that up and bringing it up. It's kind of like this emerging worm or something, and developing. It's a really good connectivity over to the depot and then over to the trail.
Yeah.
And so I think that's thinking that needs to be done. And so those are real biggies. And then the rest are things that are in the works.
Looks like you have about 50 things on that list there.
And then I assigned persons responsible by department, And so I've got city administrator, I've got mayor. You can have this.
Handing off.
And so anyway, that's the way my brain
So thinks. Here's the $64 question. Those are pet projects of yours that you won't be able to see to fruition yourself, execute yourself. Do you feel like a twinge of regret that you're not going to be able to stay and work on those things?
That's the reason I ran the second term, because I wanted to be sure the depot got done and Fifth Avenue got done. Those were my two. Those were my motivation for running the second term. Mm-hmm. Plus, I really liked the work. And So, I would hope they happen.
Well, we've been very fortunate to have your enthusiasm and passion for the city these last years and to see some of your projects, that you've held come to fruition, and probably also the Memorial Field thing.
Right, that's been going on for a while.
So we really
the fiber
say
project.
Thank you.
We haven't talked about that, actually.
Yeah,
it was on my list
totally
here.
Totally exciting.
So they've been doing a lot of work on Church Street. That's been very visible, and it looks like they're pretty well buttoned up now. Mm-hmm. But what's the status? That's to bring fiber down the street, as well as work on stormwater, I think.
When you say fiber, what does that mean?
It's fiber optic cable.
It's for
extremely high-speed internet.
Yes.
throughout Sandpoint.
And how will that enhance our lives here?
Oh, it's going to be tremendous. The original project is just for the city of Sandpoint. Okay, we pulled it from using our city public works crews and one contractor, Thorco, who's been doing the boring that was needed. But we've pulled it from the water treatment plant under Sand Creek. We utilized an old water transmission line that we vacated when we put a new water transmission line in a number of years ago. It pulled it from a water treatment plant under Sand Creek up to 3rd Ave. And then we had stormwater work to do on 3rd Ave. And so when the trenches were open, we laid the conduit. And this is in the form of conduit. Okay, we're just talking conduit right now, the container for the fiber. And so then we went up 3rd Ave to Jeff Jones Square and City parking lot, and then to Church, west on Church to about 6th, hooked over by Melody Muffler along the bike path, down to the alley that's between that City Hall sits on, that alley, came down to City Hall and over to Division. So that's conduit in the ground waiting for the fiber. The next thing is the purchase of the fiber and pulling the fiber. And Cody's going to be doing that by the end of this month. Fiber's cheap. Mm-hmm. Actually, installing conduit, if you've got the whole, you know, you got the ground open, it doesn't cost you anything. Just lay that stuff in there. And we did several conduits so that we could have the potential of a private ISP who wants to install their own can do it. We will have excess capacity. Our purpose in doing this was to get it over to City Hall. In doing so, we knew there was opportunity to make it available to incumbent providers and new providers who may want to come to town to buy our excess capacity to enhance their services and to expand services to those areas that don't have it now. So Ting, who is a Canadian firm, is very, very interested in coming to Sandpoint. They, unlike Verizon, specialize in small markets, and they are doing a lot of due diligence to see if they want to come in here.
So this project is really bringing a lot of enhancement for new businesses and current businesses
exactly.
that rely on
High speed
internet.
Yes.
And down the road, even residents can tap into this.
Wow.
But
yes.
Now, Ting is a service provider. So they're the ones who would actually light it up and run the service.
Congratulations.
So at that point, they're leasing the fiber from
the
city?
Lease excess capacity from us. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Our point is not to make money, our point is cover our costs, and that's what we'll be able to do.
Yeah. And you mentioned this is taking place from the water treatment plant, and that's because
we have a point of presence.
We have a point of presence there, and so we have this continental backbone that passes right through our town.
Right,
we've never been able to tap into it.
Yeah,
it comes along the train tracks,
right.
Basically.
Yeah, Zayo manages that.
Yeah,
I think. Yeah.
So it's a
Plus,
it's
county,
a great opportunity that's finally getting realized.
Right, and the county is doing a project because they want fiber for their. Buildings and safety facilities. So they're doing a project running it from the county offices out to the sheriff's department, utilizing our right-of-ways on Division. And that's going to open up access for the schools and the library and, all the government buildings along that way. Plus, privates will be able to take it to some of the businesses like Epis and some of those others that are on Division, industrial area who are just begging for, okay, and then they'll go out to the airport, they'll go along the west side of the airport out to the sheriff's department. Well, at the south end of the airport, there's going to be a Y, and we're going to take it up the east side of the airport so that the our county shops can be served, the industrial area can be served, and the airport can be served. And then we're getting pretty close to having even more rings completed.
Mm-hmm.
And one future thing, and it's really kind of a short run, is to run it up Boyer and then hook in at the airport. So we got this thing. And then there's conversation about how to get it over to school district office. And it's all doable.
It's a big project.
It's a big project. It's not too expensive either.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. And it's going to be a great economic
huge
asset for the town.
So good work to the city for initiating that.
Yeah.
And we're kind of running out of time.
It's, darn.
We could spend another hour easily. I guarantee that. Yeah. We do anything else, Chris, you want to ask our esteemed guest?
Yeah, I want to ask you a lot of other things, but actually, you're right. We do need to wrap it up. Carrie, any last words to your successor sitting here, Shelby?
The Bee asked me this in a little brief interview thing, and I've actually told Shelby this before, that, and I hope I remember it because I think it's really good, but sometimes I forget these things. But, you know, the way you do the job of mayor is by always using as your rails, your guides, you know, what's best for the citizens of Sandpoint, the city government of Sandpoint, and the fiduciary responsibilities that you have. And if you make your decisions that way, you know, you'll be making really good decisions. And it's really tempting to try to do something, well, we try all the time, I think, to make everybody happy. It is impossible. Impossible. Mm-hmm. And as long as you're using those as a template, kind of a guide for how you make decisions, I think you'll do really well.
Are you listening, Shelby?
Always.
And Shelby, anything you want to say to the outgoing mayor here?
Yeah, well, you know, it really has been a pleasure working with Carrie. I think we've developed a really positive working relationship over the years that we've been doing this together. And she's really made herself available and really supported me in this transition and has promised to continue to do so in the future. So I know I'll be able to call her up in a moment of need for some sage advice. It really has been a pleasure working with her and having her bring her leadership to City Hall and to the council, and she's going to be missed.
Okay. And Shelby, I want to say to you that we hope to get you in every 2-3 months maybe just to talk about what's going on with the city. I hope you're open to that.
I'd love to, Chris. Yeah. Susie,
it's we'll such a pleasure to be here. We'll make it a regular feature on the KRFY Tuesday edition of the morning show, mm-hmm. or maybe Wednesday.
Yeah, we're talking about a Wednesday show.
Possibly.
Now, adding another one.
That's a little foreshadowing for you. yes, it's been a pleasure. And Carrie, you've been coming in throughout the last few years during the morning show, and it's always been great. We're going to wish you well for your future also. I think we won't hear a song till the very end. We'll go out with a song, but right now we're going to tell our listeners here at 88.5 KRFY about a few things that are coming up. And Chris, do you want to tell? Oh, here it is. Thursday, you can join Jack Peterson on the Thursday morning show at 8 a.m. at 88.5 KRFY. His guests will be, do you want to say that?
Mamdou El Arag. He's an official with the Spokane Islamic Center. And Jack's interview with him is really focused in on the origins and culture of Islam and what it means to be a Muslim. And he's going to address some of the fears about that people have towards that religion as relates to terrorism, of course.
By clearing up what it really is. You know, information helps clarify things. So that'll be interesting. And I want to invite people to join me on Friday at 4:30 p.m. I'll be live in the studios and interviewing the Little Smokies. I got to tell you, this is a great band out of Missoula. And they're going to be in concert Friday night at the Hive. But they'll be live here in the studio with their instruments. So it's always fun.
On Friday at what time?
4:30 p.m.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And then again on Tuesday, next week's morning show, we're going to be talking with pastors and speakers from 4 different churches here in town about the true meaning of Christmas. Mm-hmm. So that's going to be interesting too.
Yep. We've invited them and it will be interesting. So we're going to say goodbye and thank you. We're going to go out with a song by Diana Ross and the Supremes. This is called I'm Going to Make You Love Me. And we're doing this song because today, one of the Supremes was born. Her name was Cindy Birdsong in 1939. So here it is, the Supremes. I'm going to make you love me. Stay tuned to the KRFY Autos Eclectic Mix the rest of the day, and we hope you have a wonderful day.
Bye now.
Goodbye. Bye. Thank you.
Bye. Thank you.